Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No matter what you've done at the club, you're only remembered if you're involved in a panelling of Barcelona. And there have been some famous 5-0s. Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football, a Mundial Magazine podcast that frankly needs some new reviews. If you like listening to this and would like to continue to listening this, then spend 30 seconds leaving us a nice little review. Thank you to Zach Van Dyke for saying that the title is accurate and does indeed remind him why he loves the beautiful game. Now, desperate for some praise to kick off this show and also to tell new listeners they haven't stumbled into a fucking weird wormhole they can't get out of, we went in our Discord, which you can also join if you're a subscriber, and it's like an old school forum, really. Lots of people posting photos of Seb as, you know, in tanks and things like that. But we asked the Discorders and said, give us a line about the podcast we can read out. So we will start with Days of Speed, Mark Jones. It's like The In-Betweeners if Mike Lee had directed it. Very good. That's my next tattoo. And I like this one. Each and every episode has at least one Ratatouille moment. Cold, mushy. Transporting you to a time, place, sight or sound you always knew was there but needed reminding of. In a world of Michelin stars, expected assists per 90, Yelp reviews and automated overlords, Seb, it's your mom's best pot of soup exactly when you really want to eat. And that is from Yosh, and that is a fucking lovely review.
That is lovely.
Yes, Yosh.
And we've also finally found James Bird's burner account.
Yeah.
A podcast that reminds us about how footy is about real people's lives at every social level, not just statistics and clickbait headlines. And that is from Mike Laybourn. Thank you very much.
Amen to that.
If you're new, welcome. We've got some wonderful stuff to talk about today. And if you're returning, then we love you too. On this day in 1503, Nostradamus, that historical liar, was born. And that fucking piss-head Nostradamus. Now, we could go through and debunk his many prophecies. Instead, we'd prefer to remember when Bobby Bacchieri off The Sopranos confused him with Quasimodo and was adamant that the hunchback had predicted 9/11.
That's more like it.
So I'm your host today, Owen Esmeralda Blackhurst, and I'm joined by Tommy Stewart, Seb White, and back by popular demand after a long spell grafting down the digital content mines under the jackboot of James Bird, it is Mundial's very own Asad Raza.
Wow. Thanks very much for that, Owen. I'm pleased you've seen the work I put into training. And you know what? I'm just glad that none of you mentioned that. I did a Randy Orton style RKO on James to get into this building.
Oh, is that why he's not here?
Yeah.
I am. Talking of finishing moves, I DT'd Birdo once.
Yeah,
in a hotel. Really? DT'd him,
yeah, in a hotel in Margate.
Hotel
onto
room
bed.
In Margate, yeah.
But I signalled it.
Plus, I was trying to watch World War II docs.
Seb was in his little blue pants watching World War II documentaries.
This is absolutely true.
What was the state of the pants?
Well, no, they were just, yeah.
They were all right.
Worn.
Tented.
No,
that's what I was getting at.
No, they were proper Marks and Spencer.
Ironed.
Yeah. Crisp.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, two Think Seb irons. His boxer shorts and the hankies for his head when he's on holiday. It is also Chris Waddle's birthday on the day this is released. Marseille's second greatest ever player voted. And a man who loved a mullet, a great dribbler, but someone whose views over the last few years have made him, he's not gone full Latisse.
No.
But, he said some things. We are 4.8 on Apple, 5-star on Spotify, and this is Reminding You Why You Love Football, a part of the Acast Creator Network. James Bird, we'll see you soon. Asad, big, misshapen, wet shoes to fill.
God damn, King.
Big shoes that are for someone 10 years younger to fill.
And I'm exactly that guy.
Some Alexander Wangs he's bought off Depop. Can't quite justify, but he's keeping them anyway.
All the pundits are wearing them, Mum.
Whereas you wear shoes for someone 10 years older.
Yeah, old soul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big. Yeah,
I said
yeah,
it's
yeah.
an old soul.
Big, yeah. big Oregon dad energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mature for my age, yeah. as I've been told many times.
Adventures in Clubland. Right anyway. Then. Adventures in Clubland. Adventures in Clubland is Indian Summers, Loans, Last Chance Saloons, parts of players' careers we like to remember, some you forgot about, some you've never heard of, and some we're just going to talk about anyway. And today is Ivan Zamorano, Chilean striker who made his name all across Europe in the 90s and who, to a lot of people, might be most remembered for his partnership with Marcelo Salas. France 98, Bam Bam and the Matador. Great Reebok kit. Chilean anthem being the best.
Oh, yeah, yes, it is a good one.
It's just a fucking raucous South American one, but it's the way they sang it.
Yeah.
No one's been more proud to come from their country than than Zamorano and the Chileans in 98.
Class. That's great.
So he famously played at Inter Milan, where after the signing of Ronaldo, he had an 8+1 shirt, which I believe is when Tommy Stewart first knew about him. But we're going to talk about him at a time which is maybe slipped down the cracks slightly, despite being what is the most successful spell of his career, really. He was signed for Real Madrid from Seville in 1992 for $6 million and went on to just have a fantastic four seasons there. Over 100 goals.
That's pretty good.
Instant impact straight away. Now, the thing, if you don't have much frame of reference for Zamorano, he's not very big, probably 5'7", 5'8", about my height, I would imagine. An incredible barnet. Sometimes the side is shaved too high, so there was completely above there, like he was wearing a helmet.
Shave those sideburns.
But one of his other nicknames, Bam Bam, from the Flintstones, obviously, and Ivan the Terrible, according to Assad, is that true?
Yeah, yeah. Well, according to Wikipedia, no secondary source on that.
Never been wrong.
Yeah.
Never been wrong.
Famously,
Madrid were amazing at the time, but they were, you know, this is Pep, Cruyff, Stoichkov, Romario, dream team era as well, and down the road. So he scored 26 in 34 in his first season. He was second only in the Pichichi to Bebeto, the great Bebeto, who at the time was probably at Deportivo, I believe. And he won the trophy for the best South American in La Liga. Now, what he was successful in the first season was scoring 6 goals in the Copa del Rey campaign. And if you've not seen Zamorano play, he fucking could jump like... You know, nowadays it's quite in vogue to when, say, Ronaldo or Cristiano does a mental header and they pull out the whole the science of hang time,
which they do
in basketball, right? Zamorano broke the rules from that. He would chuck himself as high as anyone I've ever seen go in football, but with such a wanton abandon, he did not give a fuck if he got hit. His movement was great. He was very good at springing the offside trap and a very good finisher with both feet. Just very... Like all of those, like sort of shorter South American strikers, your Tevezes, your Suarez, people like that, just fucking at it, just always at it, like a whirling dervish, and like could do everything really. And you know he's grown up playing in sort of very frenetic games on sometimes not great pitches, right? It's a tale as old as time with some South American strikers, and he was just the epitome,
a bulldog, for want of a better word.
I didn't think we were going to bring Churchill into this again for a while, Tommy, but I can see Seb's been offering you bonuses.
Can bulldogs jump really high?
No, it's a terrible analogy. Yeah. I said,
say about Tevez and Suarez, they've both been called a bulldog. I'm sure. Tevez definitely has.
Nah.
But Zamorano, the
really?
Was...
Bulldogs, they've got breathing problems from interbreathing.
Lazy bastards.
They can't run.
This is being edited out.
No,
it's not staying in.
This stays, yeah.
I have the power.
Well, yeah. Well, you were
not for much longer, by the sounds of it.
If any of you remember internet meme, walking internet meme, Devo, Tommy's channeling him today with his rig out. And
summer is here, and I'm fucking buzzing.
That's your worst
impression.
Impression, yeah.
It's terrible,
yeah. Suppose you can't impersonate yourself, can you?
No.
So Zamorano, anyway, Zamorano is one of the few people who have who have the winner's medal for the Ibero Americana. His most famous game, as is for any Real Madrid player, really, you are, no matter what you've done at the club, you're only remembered if you're involved in a panelling of Barcelona. And there have been some famous 5-0s between the two over the years, some of which we've seen, some of which we've talked about before, others which have drifted off into time. But he did. And it was a famous 5-0 pummeling. Zamorano was the star of the show, scored a hat-trick, set up the other two.
Oh.
He had a wonderful partnership with Michael Laudrup, and it was the season they won and won the league.
Bloody hell.
Beautiful.
That is good.
Michael Laudrup, ex-Barca, obviously.
Yep. Bloody and he won the Pachichi.
Ah.
Did he?
So, as the triple crown of Real Madrid things,
yeah,
La Liga,
yeah.
Pachichi, hat-trick against Barcelona, and sets up the other two, completely dominating the game. And it would be fair to say that in the turbo statistical era that we live in now, where Ronaldo and Messi have changed things, and we could go on about it, about them playing on better pitches and with more protection. It doesn't matter, you can't compare eras. But there's a lot of players like Zamorano who have just sort of slipped off from people's memories. And you will have as much fun watching Ivan Zamorano's supercut of his goals than you will watching any modern state striker, because there's a lawlessness about his play that you just don't see as much anymore. You wouldn't get that if he'd been coached in a climate controlled academy somewhere in the northwest, one of the football factories of northern Europe.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see it. And Assad is straining at the least.
That's
so
a good point.
Come on.
Obviously, he was like performing well before I was born, right? I watched a few comps before this record.
Some better than others.
He just absolutely flings himself, not just like up in the air to get at headers. He diving headers, and then the way he'd celebrate afterwards, just pulling out his shirt. Mm. One celebration, he like punched the air four times, but like four uppercuts like that.
Yeah. On the edge. It's fair to say he spent most of his career on the edge, Zamorano. And like all those type of good strikers. I've never thought about that before, about how he was a bit of a precursor to your Tevez and Suarez and stuff like that, but that's exactly what he was. And I'm glad I've thought of it now.
And just even if you want to go sort of boring modern stato about it, like I'm just looking at that goal record again. He got 101 goals in 4 years.
Again, Real Madrid.
Incredible.
That's 25 a season. Like
back in the 90s as well. Like,
25 a season.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy.
That is good.
Yeah, and then after Real Madrid, Zamo left to come to London, and where he played for Grange Hill. for 3 years, and got into a lot of shit with Danny Kendall and Trevor Cleaver.
Yeah. Some drug issues there, wasn't there?
Yeah, starred in some popular Just Say No commercials.
He did. Went to the White House and everything, didn't he?
Did they?
Yeah,
did they? The Grange Hill lot?
Yeah,
fuck off.
Because of...
It's good you won't know it. Do you know what Grange Hill is?
Yes, but
it doesn't actually matter, because I don't think Birdo was allowed to watch it either. One of those kids who couldn't watch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Not Neighbours, just in case those flaming galas.
Just in case Bouncer's lipstick was out.
Yeah, yeah.
he's really getting it, and he's not even here.
Bouncer's lipstick.
Yeah. Be a good name for a band, though.
Oh, yeah. Really good.
We're supporting Tommy next week.
Bouncer's lipstick.
No, we'll be supporting that. Yeah, face it.
I mean, mentioned France 98 and the Salas and Zamorano as a pairing, that is pretty good. And again, going back and without being like, oh, we're better in the old days, in an era of front ones, you know, front threes, when you have two, the pairs.
Oh, a strike partnership
is so, you know, I did a piece for the latest issue of Monday Hour about Bartosz Taraczewski and Phil Jevons, obviously very different, but
my favourites.
But that were only together for one season, but as a pair, it's just, you do remember pairs, and Salas and Zamorano, they didn't come much better than
For the same thing I did about Romario and Stoichkov, which was around this time, and like, I remember watching them deliver that lesson to Man United at the Nou Camp.
Yes,
yeah.
And I, you know, it would be remiss of me to not mention York and Cole.
Like, well, exactly.
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah.
Like how they
level below though them two.
A treble.
Or you know, Rooney and Javier Hernandez.
yeah. But SAS, Shearer Sheringham.
Yeah. Well, Shearer and Sutton as well. Yeah.
I mean, Shearer and Sutton were the SAS.
Yeah.
Who was Shearer and Sheringham?
They weren't called anything.
I don't think they were.
Teddy and Al.
Yeah. No, but we did speak to Chris Sutton about that, and I know he's become sort of the Widow Twanky to Robbie Savage's pantomime dame, or vice versa. I don't know. I don't know the pantomime people anymore.
No.
It's been a long time since I was on stage with Michael Barrymore at the Wolverhampton Grand.
Yeah.
This is a true story.
Story for another day about having to sing Kenny the Kangaroo with him.
Yeah.
I think I've heard this.
Chris Sutton, we did interview him for Giant about Alan Shearer, and there was always these rumours that they didn't get on. Sutton just...
He was great, wasn't he?
He said, no, we got on fine. But he also, the way he talked about how good Shearer was, even if they didn't get on, it was as magnanimous as it gets. And I don't know how many people, probably listening to this, a few do, but the Shearer people ended up remembering was a bit of a war horse at Newcastle. He had to play with his back to goal a lot because his legs are gone. And he was still a violent striker of the ball with both feet and people's heads. But pre-knee injury at Blackburn, the beginning of him at Blackburn, it was outrageous because he came from nowhere. Like, people knew about him from Southampton, but all of a sudden there was this ready-made Premier League star called Alan, who was fucking lightning quick, finished with both feet. I think he scored his Blackburn goals that are ridiculous.
I think he scored a hat-trick on his debut against Crystal Palace, didn't he?
For Southampton or for Blackburn?
For Blackburn.
But he scored
a hat-trick on his debut for Southampton as well, of course, against Arsenal. But
he did, but no.
He was a player.
Good little player, wasn't he?
He was quite tall.
The Shearer, all Shearers were good, but the Shearer of Blackburn was outrageous.
I saw them, Tottenham play Blackburn. I think it might be the season they won the league. And we used to sometimes go up to London and watch some football up there. And my stepdad's from Newcastle and my granddad was from Newcastle. And we were in the Tottenham end. And Shearer scored this fucking brilliant goal in that red kit with the black sleeves. And just because he's a Geordie, my granddad just stood up and went, yes! Yeah, exactly. It was like that. Tottenham's pretty lively, isn't it? Pretty punchy. And
Tottenham away?
Yeah, yeah.
Tottenham fucking travel well. Yeah, Tottenham's away fans are good and loud.
But we were at White Hart Lane and he's just stood up cheering. And it's like my stepdad, who's one of the most laid-back people I know, was like grabbing him by his leather jacket going, sit down. And all these Tottenham fans are going, what the fuck, you know.
Very quickly, and you have to top of your head, what's your favourite strike partnership?
Shearer and Sheringham, 96. You're 96.
My man.
York and Cole, easy. It was fucking amazing, man.
Robbie Keane and Dimitar Berbatov.
We were on holiday and it was when Robbie Keane was trying to get to Liverpool and Berbatov was trying to get to Man United. And we said, me and my brother, all that holiday, we barely went outside. We were just playing Football Manager for a week. And we said, imagine if we fly back and all the Spurs squad are there because they just played Alicante. They were fucking there.
Were they?
Modric had just signed. Modric was there. But Berbatov and Keane were on their own.
Really?
The rest of the squad were just blanking them.
Keane was back there in less than six months,
wasn't he?
Yeah, I saw him at the end of that season score for Spurs back at Anfield in Sammy Hippie's last game.
Ah.
And he refused to celebrate. And I thought, fucking hell, Robbie. I mean,
yeah, come on, man.
Do your somersault, mate.
Yeah. Do the jig.
I've only been there 6 months, mate. Yeah.
It's dark in the evening, it's dark in the mornings, and the world is pretty miserable. What you need in your life is more joy. And issue 28 of Mundial Magazine is celebrating the joy of attacks. The three R's, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho and Rivaldo. We've got Romario, Stoichkov, Steve Bull, Statman Dave off the radio, he's in it. He's talking about Ronaldo, Rooney and Tevez, and Seb talking about a couple of Yeovil players nobody else can remember the name of. You wouldn't have it any other way. Go to mundialmag.com now to subscribe or find out more. Asad Raza, 101 things to do in football before you die. Take it away.
101 things to do in football before you die, and it's get a sibling or a family member into football.
Sounds like my cup of tea.
Yeah. Basically, it was always a sticking point between me and my younger brother because me and my dad love football. It was me and my dad only really ever like talk about football or cricket, not much else, especially now that I don't go to school anymore and he doesn't really care about my job. But,
sounds like my wife, they get on.
Yeah.
He's doing very well though, if you are listening.
He will not be. My brother will. My brother just didn't care about football. He would like be playing Fortnite, he played tennis for a bit, he just didn't care. I remember I was on holiday we were all on holiday, one of those big family South Asian holidays to Pakistan, where we'd go for like a month during the summer holidays. And I was bored out of my mind, and it was like early August, and I started watching just like United pre-season or like early Premier League matches at 4:35 in the morning. And my brother just came into the room I was in and be like, there's nothing more. Why are you doing this? Why are you not spending time with us? You're just... There's nothing like important about football. Like, why do you care so much?
Because he was really anti.
He hated it. He hated the fact that my attention diverged away from him.
Ah.
Because we're a very close family. So like,
yeah.
But the year...
Couldn't you have just given him a kick in?
I used to hit my brother a lot. Like when we were growing up, I did some like bad things to him, but
siblings. It's hard work. You're not
best. The year things started turning was the summer my twin brother passed away. Basically, my twin brother had cystic fibrosis and chronic lung disease, and he caught pneumonia in an ICU ward, and then eventually passed away. And I'm not a depressive character, but it put me in like a hole. The first month afterwards, I couldn't do anything, couldn't go out. Couldn't really go outside, could barely look my mum in the eyes, my dad in the eyes. But the thing was, I just have in the background, United preseason games, and my brother, because he wanted to be near me, and he just wanted to like someone to sit next to, he would come and he'd watch these United preseason games, and then we got in and we were good that preseason, 17, 18. Like,
was this Mourinho?
Mourinho, Lukaku, back when Lukaku tricked us up. But I'll get to this. Like, early start of the season, and he, like, United are class. Like, we're battering everyone 4-0. And so I go, all right, I'll take you to a game if you want. And he's up for it. Like, he's just like, yeah, sure, I'll come. So we're there. It was against Palace. It was just before I went to uni. Like a couple days before I moved out, and he was obviously nervous about it. But we went to this game, and... He just loved it. I was obviously very protective of him because he was like 10 years old at that point. But he doesn't do well in crowds either. So I was just trying to make him feel safe while we were there. Yeah, we score within the first like 3 minutes, like Juan Mata scores.
Ugh.
And then Fellaini scores twice. And my brother like goes absolutely mental like next to me. I've never seen him punch the air like
because of Fellaini.
He left the match thinking Fellaini was one of the best midfielders in the world. Like, he was like, oh, that guy with the afro. I was like, yeah, Mario Fellaini. He was like, yeah, he's so good. And I was like,
do you know
no,
what our
not.
Nickname for him was around that
no,
time?
No, what?
In the Stretford End, me and my mates, Ballon d'Or. just that.
Lukaku, at the start of the season, he'd scored like something like six and six. He got 7 and 7 with this, but he missed a few, and then he got his classic, like at the end of the game, scores a goal. And in hindsight, he tricked us all. Like, I love him. I want to love him.
No, I don't. Let's not join the Lukaku pylon. I think he's really good. You've just got to play to his strengths.
Yeah.
Because Conte played to his strengths and Inter fucking romped the league.
Yeah.
And Everton.
Yeah,
he was brilliant. West Brom. Under Martinez.
West Brom. Yeah. He was so good at West Brom.
Yeah. And is your brother still really into it now?
So this is,
and this is how you, do you keep in sort of touch through football?
Yeah. So he
what's the age difference? Sorry,
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah. So he still rings me up out of the blue, and the first 40 minutes of every, like half an hour to 40 minutes, every phone call, he is on at me about United and football. And I'm starting to like, you know, like supporting United is a bit depressing, but he just goes on and on and on about it. Even started when I was at uni away, and he'd ring me like every night. And that, even like a week and a half ago, he's still ringing me up about the football, but he started playing.
Oh.
And yeah. So he
what,
plays.
What, around the same similar time? Or
he started playing in the past couple of years when he turned 15. Great. And like, he's very skinny. He's not like me. He's very skinny and very tall. But yeah, he plays as a right winger for his school team, and
class.
He's beautiful. Like, I better than I ever was or ever will be. Like,
really?
Oh, like when I think of like beauty when on a football pitch, I think of my little brother playing. Like,
oh, amazing, man.
He set up of his own volition. He added all our, because we don't really, we've got big cousins, but like, because I'm in London now, I don't see him often. He set up a football WhatsApp group, and they play every week. He's so good at football. It's unbelievable.
Who's he remind you of? Like, of a player? I like comparing my mates to Premier League players.
I'd say Neymar. Like, he's a very languid right winger.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hasn't got three different saunas in his house, though, has he?
No.
Not unless they've turned your room into one.
No, that's a storage room now. Like.
And do you, and obviously magnified for a parent. Right?
Yeah.
And do you think, I suppose, did your parents not shut down emotionally, but were they a bit unavailable? So do you think he needed you even more at
yeah.
the time?
Yeah, oh, 100%. My mum was obviously just distraught, like catatonic, basically. And like, and my dad just threw himself into work. And he just, it just tied us together. Like he needed me and needed to be around me.
Yeah.
And that was the way we got through it. And it was really tough. I considered deferring a year at uni, but I needed to get out. I don't know how he did it, but like he'd come and visit me at uni all the time.
Oh. Yeah. Me and, so I've got three brothers. I've got my brother, Pete, who would never listen to this, but Pete, if you're listening, but me and him are in incredibly close. And then I've got two brothers from my dad's second relationship, who I'm just not as close as because there's a bigger age gap and whatever else. And you know what it's like with steps and halves and all that stuff. But
got plenty of them.
Yeah, I think, well, your dad's a shagger, isn't he?
Yeah. As discussed like previously on this parish.
Hello, Ian. Yeah. Hello, Ian. I hope you're all right, mate. But the sibling relationships and ones which are often dominated by trauma. And, you know, our parents getting divorced was quite a traumatic incident for both me and my brother at the time and the way it was, I suppose, all dealt with. But that's definitely, even at the times when we've not wanted to have anything to do with each other, a bond will always remain. And it's like, to know it's difficult because you sort of can't, you can't let the trauma define your relationship because you need to move the relationship beyond that. And if football can be the kicker for something like that, especially with an age gap, because it's not easy with an age gap. It's
good that you're close, but that age gap, despite the age gap.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 years is a long, and we don't really have loads. His cultural references are different to my cultural references. He's not getting into Jeff Buckley, which I love, so maybe another like bid for my attention. But I don't know anyone, even Seb, I don't know anyone more obsessed with football than him. And this was...
Look at him. He's not...
He said apart from Seb.
Saying he supports
me. You know, it'd have been in tears. Seb's fuming.
Saying he supports Man United and he knows more about football than me. We just pretend there was only three of us tight.
I'm going to have to edit this beautiful story out.
Get him out. I'll record it. I'll record a separate section from home.
How much does he fucking know about Yeovil or war?
What's his favourite trench?
Mariana.
Talking of trenches... people in the Discord will recognise this, but people who've listened to this podcast for a while will know that Seb is into military history. And there was some chat in the Discord, which I know is going to get annoying for people who aren't in the Discord, but you should get in there because it's quite a nice place. If you're sick of X and everything it's become, and if you're getting older and you don't see, you know, you don't like necessarily see as many like-minded people anymore. I thought I was going to go nowhere near it, and... You go around the Discord any night of the week and you find Blackhurst hanging out the back of it. Yeah. Taking the piss out of Seb mainly. But someone put a picture of Seb superimposed on a tank driving into a Glasgow Rangers pub.
It was brilliant. That was brilliant. I got to say, it was very, very funny.
And some cunt called out my fucking Roy Hodgson impression.
It wasn't very good.
It was all right.
It was all right. It wasn't a two. It wasn't a two, I would
say. You were taking the piss.
Yeah.
What I will say about the Discord is I also didn't think I'd go near it. It's great.
It's amazing.
I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, because there's no cunts in there.
Yeah, it's so nice.
No, it is very good. And of course, the only way you can get access to the Discord is
by subscribing to the bloody magazine.
So, yeah.
There you go. Asad, that was a lovely story. And sort of knowing a bit about it. And then when I saw it in the running order, I was like... This is going to be heavy, and it should be heavy because it's a heavy story for you. But I'm glad you've shared it with us, and I'm glad you've shared it. And I hope, in any way, talking about it can sometimes be cathartic. And I hope your brother listens. And I'm glad he's better at football than you.
And he does listen. He started to listen to the podcast as well. Jesus. Yeah,
has he?
If you are listening, you don't know as much about football than me.
So. Oh,
there we go.
Hello, I'm messing.
No,
I'm
you might know as much as Seb, to be honest, because. He got 6 points in a quiz that ran for 4 months.
Yeah, it's a salient point.
Asad, your brother, got 6 points. He was only on two episodes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
True, I know. Yeah.
And we had to ban him once for fucking losing his microphone.
Oh, God, yeah.
What's your brother's name?
Ahmed.
Shout out, Ahmed.
Shout out to
Big
Ahmed.
Big up.
Issue 28 of Mundial is out now, and it's crammed full of brilliant football stories that you won't read anywhere else. For instance, there's an amazing story of the social history of Besiktas and their fans. There's a ridiculous photo story of scarecrows being made in the fields of France. There's our editorial director, Owen Blackhurst, who is pretending to pump some iron over in the corner of the room at me, talking about what it would be like to go to the gym with all sorts of footballers and managers. And then there's the cover story, which is all about the most joyful attacks in history. Go to mundialmag.com to subscribe.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We support this. We support this. We support this now. We support this. We support this now.
You all right, Seb?
Yes, I know. I'm getting my...
Tweeting, are you?
We support... Stonewall FC, now and always. Yes. Now, I spoke to George, the captain of Stonewall FC, or the captain and vice-captain, depending on who else is around. But he's very much a linchpin. He's been there 9 years. And they have recently just won their fifth gold medal at the Gay Games in Mexico. So this team has been going for over 30 years. Obviously, a safe space... For any gay footballers or anyone that holds the values, the same values of Stonewall, obviously inclusivity, and they've been getting bigger and better. They're currently
for a long time they were the only visible
LGBTQ plus team. So they have got better and better, and they've been in the Premier Division of Step 7, which is the lowest. The highest you can be without becoming like a proper,
non-league. Going through those leagues, imagine some of the shit over the years they've fucking had to put up with.
I spoke to him yesterday and had a good chat about, it was mainly around Mexico and the tournament. So the tournament in Mexico, they had to play 9 games in 5 days. Not only just that, like the shit, you know, going over, having a squad, playing 2 games a day, every day, and competing to a really high standard. It's at altitude as well. So they, and George said it was very, very tricky the first couple of games.
Yeah.
Very, very tricky. But because they'd played previous tournaments, a lot of other teams who hadn't played previous tournaments went hell for leather the first few games. And they were, once they got into a good lead in the first couple of games, they were passing it around the back and making the most of it. And the thing I liked about when I was speaking to George about this was he says it's obviously hugely important on and off the pitch, but the way he spoke about it and going away with a squad of 20 of you, staying in the same hotel, having a meal together in the mornings, having a meal together in the evenings, he said it genuinely makes you feel like what a professional footballer is like at international tournaments and things like that.
Yeah.
And he said that is just so exciting and so much fun. And he said the fact that they're also quite good is great, but he said just that experience, the whole experience of it all is great. And they actually, so they win their fifth gold medal in total over the years.
Yeah.
So they win the tournament. One of the best things he did say actually was, obviously, the gay, you know, we're talking about Stonewall now, a team from, they were in West London, but now they're based in around Hackney. And he was saying that it's not just a case of raising awareness of, you know, LGBTQ teams and issues and values. It's actually in Mexico, having that gay games in Mexico means that people see people in Mexico. Yeah. He said it was really like people coming to that, whether as spectators or, you know, watching it. Actually, when you go out there and out into the world, that is one of the best things, rather than just saying, oh, this is our Stonewall FC. So he was quite like, make sure you mention it's just, it's more, it's not just about the team, like, it's about the experience and what the gay games and things like that can do. One of the main aims, or the long-term aims, is that they want to play in the FA Cup.
Nice.
At some point. And, you know, that might...
Do you reckon they need a goalkeeper?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's they play every week. They play every week in Hackney. And they have a number of different teams.
No, but there's I was going to say on the back of this, actually, there's some great people in Manchester doing similar things. Rain on Me FC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are good. Ella, who started that, she's a very good friend of mine. And yeah, just anything. As someone who is queer myself, and like any visibility of queer people in football is always empowering. I've always worn an earring and my chains and whatever I wear on a football pitch. And I've been called the bad F word, yeah, not
some,
fuck.
Some,
the other one.
Some horrible things, yeah.
I've been French.
Yeah, you look a bit like Barthez, mate.
Fabio. Your mother is an Amster. But I've been called the horrible F word like a couple of times on football pitches. And the people who have called me that have suffered consequences in the next challenge. But yeah, something like this is just, I used to work on a LGBTQ plus podcast, Homo Sapiens, which is also on the Acast network. Yep. So I can talk about them.
Until Seb came in throwing money around.
And they're great guys. The Stonewall FC guys. We worked with them a couple of times. Great guys. And yeah, it makes me, when I read this in the script, stuff like that, this makes me feel happy because as someone who didn't come out till I was 30, it's a manly fucking thing. It is a man, like, especially if you're our age, me, Seb and Owen, stuff like this makes me feel pride.
Ins and outs, outs and ins. I said, you know, I'm going to give you the first in this week, as soon as you're back.
No pressure.
And it's a good one.
It's the Bon Maman Advent Calendar.
Bon Maman, King of Jam, Jam of Kings. You know, Seb, the one that looks like a tablecloth.
Oh, yes.
That French muck you normally
with
call
the fancy,
it.
With the fancy handwriting. With your grandma's handwriting on the label.
Yeah.
Your grandma couldn't write like that.
Yeah, she was good.
See, I thought... your grandma... It's derailed it before I've even got
He
going.
Said some things in this podcast. That's what he's called out my grandma's handwriting.
Yeah, but she was holding the pen with four fingers at the same time.
Not that one. She was from St. Helens. She was proper.
She was proper. I'll send it.
Anyway, Bon Maman Advent Calendar. This sounds like something that's right up my street. Go on.
Hell yeah. Me and my girlfriend got it for each other and we do it together. Like, well, not when we're together, but she has one at her house and I have one at
independently
my flat.
Or planned? Did you plan to buy each other this and said, I'll get it for you if you get it me? Or did you just...
Independently, because we've done it.
Oh. So you didn't know?
No. Because I was like, I know what she likes. We both like the jams.
You both like jam?
We both like Bon Maman jams.
Yeah. What's your favourite?
Yeah.
Down in the tube station at midnight. Sorry.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Not great, put on the spot. There was a pie in the most recent one. There was like a pineapple and spiced fruit one. Which
that sounds
incredible.
I'll be honest, so that does sound good.
Hello.
Had that on my morning bagel.
I like a black cherry.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I enjoy it more than her because I just love them. It's like a little pocket of joy every morning. Up until the French cheated us out a little bit because they only do 24 days instead of 25. But they did sort us out with
striking on Christmas Eve, were they?
But they did, as a free gift, they sent me three full ones.
A yellow tabard.
Three. Yeah,
yeah. Baguette. Yeah. And a Molotov cocktail. Yeah,
yeah. Fair fucks to them, I say.
Fair fucks to them, yeah.
Yeah, they don't take any shit.
No, they don't.
And I got three extra full spreads, like the hazelnut one.
Oh my God. You actually...
I've got my...
You got that for free?
I haven't got...
Well, I didn't get it for free because I paid for my girlfriend.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I haven't got a girlfriend or a boyfriend right now. So, you know, we've spoken about on this parish many times before. But my mum...
But he covers himself in jam. Just in case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My mum sent me a coffee advent calendar. You get a different coffee every day.
Oh, that's quite nice.
It is nice.
A great way to set
Owen, have you got an advent calendar or you've grown up?
like mean, you know, you've grown up, haven't you? You know, you don't need that.
You're putting words in his mouth.
Yeah, no, what? Oh, and I don't like that. This is the man.
No, I'm messing around. I'm trying to.
This is the man who has his birthday and Christmas money put together age 43 so he can get a better present.
Oh my God.
Bon Mum Mum Advent Calendar's in.
That sounds great, to be fair.
I'm going to do my in I love next. That. I'm going to do James McFadden.
Ooh.
Ex occasionally injury plagued footballer, Scottish footballer, but he was a great player.
Really good player.
But I was driving home the other night and there was Premier League fixtures, turned the radio on, and I was greeted by, I don't even know who the main commentator was, because as I've mentioned here before, I've been trying to get the love of top flight and current football back. I know I probably shouldn't admit to a lack of love for it, but I just, too much of it on TV, too many bad games, too many shit commentators, too much middle of the road stuff. So I sort of went on a radio diet for a bit and then I've gradually gone back up with highlights and stuff. And the love is returned and I'm desperate for a bit of live football to fully, to go over the edge again. However, instantly I was like, fucking hell. Like, there's so many bad commentators and colour commentators. James McFadden, he's got a brilliant voice because of a great Scottish accent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was exactly what a second commentator was meant to be. It's like he's gone to some old journalism school.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't talking about himself.
Yeah.
Wasn't doing any banter.
Stuart Pearce, Dean Saunders.
Oh, I don't want to talk about them.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, don't ruin it.
Sorry.
You can have them in your advent calendar. But not only is his voice brilliant, it was his succinct description of what was going on the pitch. And he said a couple of things about, oh, he's coming there to narrow the angle, so that's pushed him out wide, so that's done that. But the way he described it, you could see the pitch.
Mm. That's what you want.
You could, yeah. And honestly, the best colour comms number two I've heard on radio for years. It was like listening to someone who'd been doing it 40 years. Incredible. Yeah.
What was that? Five Live?
Yeah.
Scorer in, of one of Scotland's greatest ever goals in Paris.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say that's in her.
Definitely.
Well, it's my choice.
That's a good point.
Yeah, good point, well made.
Pause that bank transfer, Seb. Tommy.
In this week, it's going to watch your best mate's football team.
Is your best mate your brother, and is it fucking Man United, Tommy?
No, and no. Oh! Not this.
Yo, ball.
So I partly did this for one of my other best mates, Seb White, sat to my left. But my mate Jordan recently said, do you want to go and watch Yeovil? He's from Yeovil. But yeah, it was great. I went as an away fan. I don't get to go to United away as much as I'd like these days. It's very hard to get tickets as an away fan. So I went in the away end with the Yeovil fans. They were playing Wrexham in the FA Cup. And it was just a great experience, meeting a new fan base, being amongst them, not like necessarily... And I should say as well, lovely people, as I said to you earlier.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, people starting to chat with you, like in the queue for a pie and all that. Just like old women, like families, etc. It was a really nice experience. It was fucking cold, but I loved it. And it's just nice going to watch a different football team, isn't it?
Also in, what was the race course like? Because I've never been.
Yeah, I've never
loved
been.
To go.
Well,
old school.
I am not a fan. I used to go a lot Shrewsbury away when I used to wear my Rockports and when I actually was a little Devo back in 2005.
Rockport boots.
I used to wear my Rockports and my Burberry. Oh.
It was one of my most coveted items as a kid.
Yeah,
Rockports. I used to nick my then girlfriend's brother's Rockports all the time.
Oh, yeah. Henry Lloyd, Fred Perry, Rockports, all that gear in 2005. And I went to the race course a few times, so I grew up hating Wrexham. And I think I still do, actually. Going with Yeovil the other day, I started singing Yeovil songs. You get carried away.
You do when you go and watch football with your mates.
Yeah, you do.
You just get sucked into it.
Because he was so happy. He was so happy.
All right,
It's reminding you why you love football.
Exactly.
Seb?
Having a proper pizza at the football match.
Fucking
at the Beavers lately, they've got.
Who are you? I don't recognise you.
At the Beavers lately, they've got a pizza van in there. The great people at the Dough Shack, and I tell you what, having a pizza at the match has changed my match day experience. It is delicious.
What size? Full pizza.
10 inch, I would say. Not like Domino size, but
a big size,
a little bit low. And then I always get the spicy aioli dip. And I tell you what.
What type of crust are we talking?
Nice, thin, Italian-style crust. And it's actually really good pizza. And you know what? It's a tenner.
I know, Seb, but...
I know.
Look, I think, you know, I think a lot of you as a person, as discussed before, but
yeah.
Seb's 10 out of 10 is like...
Oh, I'm not saying it's
an 0 in 4.
To have a pizza at a match rather than a crap burger, you know, there was only 700, 800 there the other day. And I, you could
700 at Hungry Beavers, though.
Yeah, 700 Hungry Beavers. So, you know, yes, I'm not saying it probably doesn't work in your league stadiums and your arenas. But
you wouldn't want to get a fucking pizza box in the arm.
No. My God. But a non-league grat, I mean, it's that's a good point. I haven't, yes, a good weapon, actually. But yeah.
So, all right, just, what are you going to do with it?
Well, you meet football before I drive.
So this is the second like sort of localised product placement thing you've done in the last couple of weeks.
What was the other one
before? I reckon
the fucking football tour in Glasgow. Oh no, I didn't have to pay because are you getting free pizzas?
No, God, no, they're good people at the Dough Shack.
The Dough Shack. Sounds like something I used to say.
At the Dough Shack on social media, I did tag them in for with a picture of me eating pizza, but unfortunately, nothing's been forthcoming yet. We shall see.
Not in. Yeah. Oh! Tommy, does this say my banjo string? Tommy, what's your out, Tom?
My banjo string going. No, my out is my hamstring. I've been playing football again.
Goose's leg.
You're talking about it.
Goose's leg. Not
glowingly talking about it, weren't you, last week?
I'm very happy playing football again, mate. So happy. I got the fever back when we did that Acast tournament back in the summer. Playing again, playing really fucking well. Like, I thought I'd be a goalkeeper for the rest of my life after like getting an injury in my mid-20s and kind of converting to a goalkeeper. But I'm playing out of goal again. Through one-on-one, fucking freezing, didn't stretch properly before I played. Pull the trigger, you know, probably wasn't going to put it away, but as soon as I pulled it back and then with the follow through of my right leg, just hurt, just like, I was just like, it wasn't like agony. I was just like, guys,
that's it.
Do you mean heard it?
Well, you know, like feel it like that, that sort of.
It goes through your body, doesn't
visceral
it?
Visceral sort of, yeah. Heard is an exaggeration, but like I was like, that's my hamstring. I haven't felt that in about 5-6 years or something.
Well, like, can you touch your toes on a normal day? Yeah. Can you?
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
No.
I think I can.
Yeah. You're trustworthy guy.
I want to see it. We haven't met on Grindr.
We don't go there, Owen. After what you found out before.
I don't need tea.
But no. I had a massage recently in Miami. One of the top, I would say, until I met my wife, I probably only have had about 2 or 3 massages in my life. And I reckon I've had, I don't know, hundreds now, all around the world. I always look for one. It's, you know, they're like the medicinal value of one. And you can normally tell where someone's humour level is at because they'll normally say, any afters? Nope. No, I just actually wanted a massage. There's been a few times when I've accidentally gone to the wrong type of establishment.
Really?
So Tommy's hamstring is out.
Definitely.
Seb. Yeah. Oh, no. You've got 2 outs from today. So today, to let you in behind the curtain, Tommy, Seb and I, before we met Asad, we were out filming something. And we got to Piccadilly Circus. And we were going to film some of the dialogue there. And Seb's looked over and he just gone, fucking street performers. So hot on the back of Brompton bikes and pianos in train station, he's gone, fucking street performers. And then gone, shall I just run over there and 2-foot that cunt? He's just, and Tommy went, fucking hell, Seb, they're just grafting.
They are grafting.
They were doing capoeira.
Also, that
years
is difficult.
Of sitting on a stick dressed as Yoda, like you're hovering. Nah, fuck off.
Dressed as Yoda.
You've seen those ones that look like Yoda. Yeah. You've seen that they just sit on a stick for fucking 5 hours. That's not performing.
Mate, discipline, patience.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well.
Attitude.
I've got none of it for those lot. Australia.
Yeah. Anger, mateship.
Yeah, yeah.
Owen's gone.
Street performers are not out.
What? You know what is out, though?
Let's put Joyce up.
You know what is out? The fucking piano at Manchester Piccadilly train station.
Yes.
One week. 1 week since, like, a week ago it was there, last Friday.
The people
Friday.
Have spoken. The
you, people you're
have,
an influencer.
Manchester is a city of protest, and they've come to...
It's like France.
Yeah, exactly.
Asad, what's your out, brother?
Dodgy eBay auction decisions.
Come on, what have you accidentally bought?
So I bought 3 things recently. One, I thought I'd scored a bargain on a mohair cardigan. I was like, a mohair's quite expensive. Sold one for 15 quid. Came, didn't read the...
A mohair cardigan for 15 quid, and it turned up and it wasn't mohair, and you were surprised.
No. It was just, turns out it was a women's cardigan, and it was 2 sizes too small. I put it on, it looked like a crop top.
But you've still worn it today, though.
Yeah. And the other
fair
one.
Fair play for styling it out, mate.
Yeah. You've got to wear it out. You gave me a sidelong look, but you know, fair play.
Always check the measurements.
Yes. Always. That is something. That is something I've learned.
Yeah, but eBay's wild, man, for measurements.
Oh no, I get it. Yeah, true. But
I think if you're going on eBay, you're like, what you're all into, you're taking that risk. Like, it might not fit.
Dodgy eBay auction decisions are out. I had a quick out this week, and I'm just going to say it because, fucking hell, I went for a sauna after I'd been to the gym the other day, and there was this fella in there looking disgusted, and I went, fucking hell, he went, yep, those little cunts have been pissing everywhere again.
Oh my God.
So there's a school, it's a sports centre basically, and that you often find like there's 14, 15, 16 yards in there, and they've just pissed everywhere. So me and him, so we could get into the sauna without the smell of piss wafting in. We're filling
with the heat as well, because that would have come in and really stayed, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So we're filling up water bottles, squeezing them on the floor, and fucking washing the piss down the drain.
Oh man,
fuck,
little kids are disgusting.
Yeah,
disgusting.
Yeah,
that's not on.
No. I don't want to catch one of them doing it.
Oh, God. No. I don't want you to either.
No.
I like my job.
This has been reminding you why you love football. We've been at Spiritland. We'd like you to review this, rate it. Please. Come on. I mean, like, it doesn't take long. And we know how many people listen to this. And then I see how many people have rated it.
Yeah.
Either Apple are blocking us off because we're not part of the goal hanger massive. Or more likely, you lot are too fucking lazy. So stop. You know, it's nice that you DM us and tell us how you feel.
Oh, lovely.
Just put them on Apple.
Come on.
Ed's in the booth. Asad's back. Seb's here. Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye, Mundial Magazine. Keep us off the dole.
Love you. Bye.
See ya. Reminding you why you love football is a Mundial and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.